Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening, my brothers and my sisters, and welcome to another exciting episode of the PRF Table. This is one of your hosts, Dr. Nate Dunlap, also here sitting at the table, is Adia Sanders. Adia, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing fine. Good evening, everyone.
Amen, amen. Well, tonight we're going to be talking, as we said last week, we're going to be talking from the subject of receiving your financial healing, and this is going to be part two of our series, and guess what? We have that wonderful guest that we had last week, Pastor Khalil Carmichael of It Is Well Living Church in New Jersey. So he's going to be on with us momentarily. But what I wanted to do was just make sure I let everybody know that we appreciate you. We love you so much for being with us in this topic that we're dealing with for this particular month series of receiving your financial healing. What I've been able to notice that a lot more people are listening, Adia, to these episode or to that episode. And so we're just expecting and we're believing that we're going to have a lot of people that are actually going to listen to tonight's episode from all over. One of the things about it is this: when you're talking about subjects in ministry that are really, really relevant to the people, when you're putting out things that are practical where the people can actually grab a hold to them and actually work them, then I think that that really does something in their lives. So we just want to be relevant. We want to be able to continue to speak with clarity and do what God has called us. Adia, I don't know if you have anything that you wanted to recap from last week, but I did want to give you the mic before we bring Pastor Carmichael on to start tonight's show.
Well, I guess the biggest thing in the word that I spoke of last week is being intentional. And I think that anytime you're looking to receive healing, you have to do things that are intentional. You think about what a doctor does when they're going through, maybe the person has to have surgery, maybe you have a cold. There's a plan that is put in place, and it is an intentional, thought-out plan. And so I believe in getting your financial healing, that what is your intent? And as we say in our army, what is your intent and purpose for the end state that you're trying to get? So intentional is a word that has been resonating literally from last week up until this point, just been talking about us being intentional in everything that we do. So that was a word that really stuck with me from last week and has just really been a blessing to me and has allowed me to even go forth and talk to other people. Had a young man today say that he needed prayer for finances, and what I told him is that you have to be intentional. You have to have a plan. You can't just say you want to you need $30,000, but you don't even have a plan of how to get that. You want to get a car, you want to get your own place, but you have the only place where those ideas are in your mind. And when you're intentional, you take those thoughts from your mind, you begin to write them down and attach a plan of how you're going to do that. And I think our intentions speak volumes, you know, the lack of or whether we have them or having intentions, because it shows where our heart is at. And I think that that's a topic that we have to be cognizant of and that we are aware of and that it remains relevant is what are your intentions and are you being intentional about your financial healing as you would for anything else that you want to do and get accomplished. So that's really it for me.
Amen. That was great. And let me say this. Something happened to me today. I was at my allergist having a follow-up appointment, and I was talking to my allergist, and he has an organization. We're going to probably try to get him on in the near future or maybe next month. But one of the things that I ask, he asks about my ministry every time I go in there, and it's a good thing to have Christian-minded, believing people involved in your medical health. I think that does wonders, because you know that there's prayer that's actually involved in that, in that craft that they're doing as well. And he listened to me to update him about what was going on with PRS, and then I asked about his organization. He has a very unique organization that deals with asthma. And as we're talking during our visit there, or my visit there, I was sharing to him that there's a correlation between the financial and the physical when it comes to the health. And when I started explaining what we're doing on the show, and Pastor Carmichael and how his ministry and our ministries have connected, it just opened his eyes. And he was like, I never put the connection between fitness or your personal health, or even asthma, if you will, and how it relates to finances and how they're so related together. And what that let me know was that, or confirmed within me, is that we know what we're doing right now is in the will of God. We know that this path that God has us on is really where we need to be. And it's really about, and you said it great, Adia. You talked about intentional. We have to be intentional with real deal ministry. It can't be the status quo. It can't be business as usual. It can't be just come to church and think that's all you have to do. So let me stop before I just keep on going. But I really want to bring in our guest for this evening to make sure that we maximize the time. We have Pastor Khalil Carmichael. As I said before, he's the pastor of It Is Well Living Church in Somerset, New Jersey. He's also the owner of The Fitness Doc. He's doing great things in his ministry. I'm following him online. We have a relationship because we met both alumni at NYTS. He's still there plugging along in another degree. And God has just connected us in this season for a light of transformation in your life. So, Pastor Carmichael, we welcome you again, my brother, my friend, sir, to the PRF table. How are you doing this evening?
Thank you, sir. I'm doing great, man. It's so good to be here. I am so extremely busy, and I don't say that in a way where I'm just like I'm President Obama or somebody, but I say that in a way I'm glad to be here tonight, man. I just, you know, the time just opened up for me to be here, and I'm so great. I'm so thankful that I'm able to be a part of this and continue in this dialogue. And I thank you for having me on. I really, really appreciate it.
Amen. Amen. Again, it's our pleasure that we're just being obedient to what the Spirit is doing in this particular season. One of the things that we did last week, and I'm not going to do a recap. Only thing I'm going to do is tell people that one of the things that we touched on last week was that when we talk about healing, when we talk about fitness and our health, we're not talking about things that are overnight. We're talking about things that take a little work. And so, Adia, when you mentioned you have to be intentional, write it down, put it into motion. Those are things that we're going to see from the text, not necessarily the write it down piece, but we're going to see a part of it. And also there were some things that Pastor Carmichael, that you mentioned regarding fitness. You said there was three things last week that encompasses fitness. I think you said one of them was flexibility. One other one was strength. And another one was cardio, if I'm not mistaken. Hopefully I'm remembering right.
Right. Absolutely. That's great. Yeah.
And so from there, what I was able to do was to bring into that conversation to get us kickstarted for this week is that when we talk about anything that we're doing, whether it's working on our finances, whether it's working on our physical conditioning, there's a language that's involved. There's verbal and there's nonverbal communication, and we have to understand the language. And we talked a little bit about my healing process is not going to be your healing process. And so when you're working out with folks, everybody's not going to get as buff as me just walking through the door because I got different muscle memory than they do. So I'm going to encourage everybody to go to the PRF table on Blog Talk Radio and check out the first episode so that this episode tonight makes it even more relevant in your life. Because, see, sometimes you can catch something in the middle and don't have the full context. And so we want people to get the full context of everything we're talking about. And the way that we ended last week's show was when I talked about how important and impactful language actually is, that if you understand that, you have a better chance of doing a couple of things. One was actually starting the conversation. The other thing was respecting or being respectful when it comes to engaging the conversation with other people. You know, Pastor Carmichael, if somebody comes in there and they say, well, you know what, I got good muscle memory, and you're trying to tell them, look, you need to, you don't need to lift 200 pounds. Let me just see where you at right now and start you off at 100. And we can get to the same burnout phase as doing things a little bit different. If they don't want to listen to you, the question is, why the heck did you come there in the first place?
Right. Right. Absolutely.
If you don't want to listen, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but yes, it's absolutely. It makes all the sense in the world that if you're going to come in, and especially seeing someone like myself or someone like you who could help with our finances, you know, why wouldn't I listen to you if I, one of the things that I am interested in you doing is helping the body of Christ with their credit. You know, so you're the person to lead and guide us, so we have to listen.
Yes, sir. I'm coming, brother. Trust me, I'm coming. We're going to have this set up before the end of the month. I'm telling you, we're coming up to New Jersey, whether I can get the whole team or whether it's just me and one other person, but we're coming. You know, there's a constant thing, though. I gave five things. I'm not going to give all five of those things that I gave last week, but there's a constant within receiving your financial healing that is also relative to what you do, Pastor, and that is, and this is what's going to help bless so many people. You have to celebrate your progress along the way.
Right.
See, let's take this thing of credit.
Right.
We talked about this, dealt with credit so deep. It takes a very split second for somebody to mess their credit up because somebody cannot pay one bill. Trust me, I did that one time. A couple days late, and that was a mark of being late over 30 days on the credit report. It took one day to do that. You can't be mad at the creditors because you did it, whatever the reason was. But it takes 7 years for that to come off. So now the thing is, what do you do in the meantime? Do you sit there and just wait on 7 years, or do you try to do things to make sure that you're increasing your worth, because your late payments is not the only thing that's being looked at when potential creditors or the government or an employer or a utility company or a rental or leasing company looks at your credit. That's not the only thing that they're looking at. So you can work on some other areas or help other areas to get better, and you can celebrate that, because the enemy is going to be like, look, you missed that payment back in 2009, and it's still on your credit. It ain't going off. But then you got to tell the enemy, well, yeah, you're right. Remember I talked about last week the language of healing? Instead of saying this, so instead of agreeing with the enemy and saying, well, you know what, man, my credit ain't going to be fixed for another 13 months until this come off, you can speak something else that's even more positive. Yeah, you know, I did mess up back then, but I'm not doing the same thing. I'm on top of my thing right now. I'm on top of my game right now. Nothing catastrophic has caused me not to pay my bills. My credit score was a 700, even with this, and now it's at a 710. So celebrating the progress along the way, I think, is so critical. And Pastor, you give us an example of how you can tell people, or how you help encourage people about celebrating their progress along the way and what you're doing, not just in the fitness, but also even as a pastor.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that we try to do at the Fitness Doctor and It Is Well Living Church is really keep people, I always tell them, don't abort the process. And so, you know, to stay in the process no matter what. And so I like to kind of highlight progress or, unique ways or out of the norm, for instance. So everybody, when they kind of join or start a fitness program, they want to look at the weight. But I try to look at the inches that you lose. Everyone is often looking at, what they're eating, things like that. But I try to get them to look at the weight increments that they're lifting. Like some people are amazed to find out that they started with 5 pounds, and now 2 months later they're able to lift 15 or 20 pounds. And unless I bring it to their attention or to their consciousness, they're not even aware of that progress. And we begin to celebrate that. So you're very right that we have to celebrate those little successes, even within faith. When some of my members or the congregants of the church, they'll be complaining, or they'll say that they're not improving, or they feel like the enemy is just totally on their backs. And I'll say, you have the victory through Christ. And if you look at where were you last year at this time? And many will say, wow, look how far God has brought you. Yeah, you're not where you want to be, but look how far God has brought you. I mean, last year you didn't have a car. Last year you didn't have a car. This year you have a car, and yes, it may not be working, but you got a car. Last year you and your husband were not in church, and the marriage was going through. Now, both of you are in church, and you're still having some marital issues, but thank God both of you are in church. And so that's something to celebrate.
Wow. Let me start this off or continue in our conversation tonight, or our dialogue, because we're past conversing. We're dialoguing this thing now. I think all of us here, myself, Adia, and yourself, are excited about what the Word of God has for us in the book of John, chapter 5.
Right, I'm excited about that.
I heard the excitement in your closing out. It was like, man, I wanted to keep going, but oh my goodness. And I could tell you that it has actually manifested in my life. I'll reserve that maybe for the end of the show, but it manifested itself this week with some people that God sent me to deal with. And so I really just want to go ahead and just dig deep into John chapter 5 so that people can receive not just their financial healing, but their spiritual healing. Not just receive their financial healing and their spiritual healing, but also their physical healing. And whichever one God needs to get your attention on, because of wherever the listeners are, that's what we want God to be able to do. So if somebody is in need of a physical healing, or they need to do something with their weight, or they need to do something with their health and their fitness, if that's the place God needs to meet them at, my prayer and our prayer is God meets you there after we go through John chapter 5. Same thing with the finances, whether it's credit, whether it's putting together a will, whether it's stewardship, whether it's how they've been giving or tithing, whatever those areas of PRF that we're in, we want God to be able to do that. When we look at John chapter 5, it's a very, very interesting scripture, because I know from speaking about it and from teaching on it in various different ways, people don't see the same things. I spoke to a group of people last night, men and women. They didn't see it, and it didn't have the power that it really had in their life until they saw it from a different vantage point. So that's what we want to do tonight. Let me give everybody the background. And Adia, please jump in whenever you feel the need. But I'm going to try to – it's only a couple of verses that I really want to go through. When it starts off in chapter 1 or verse 1, it says, afterwards, Jesus returned to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish holy days. And inside of the city, near the sheep gate, was a pool of Bethesda. With it, there were five covered porches. And there were crowds of sick people. They were blind, they were lame, they were paralyzed. And they laid on these porches. And then there was one man who was laying there for 38 years. That's how long he had been sick. And then when Jesus saw him, he knew that he had been there for a long time. And Jesus asked him, "Would you like to get well?" I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. But I believe the King James Version says, "Do you want to be made whole?" And I really want to stop there because I want to stop at the point of where Jesus really asked the question. And
right.
When I think about what the question is, I found out that a lot of people don't really understand the impact of that question.
Mm.
When we're talking to people about, do you want to be healed financially?
Mm-hmm.
My prayer always is that the response is yes. We pray that their actions also say yes, because you can say something with your mouth and not really have it in your heart. And so,
right.
Adia, when you talked about being intentional, that means you got to put some action with this thing. And what I've discovered is that God is oftentimes waiting on our response. And
right.
and I know for a fact that those who are listening will be really surprised how quickly God can heal them financially when they realize that this thing is really a process.
Mm.
As you said, you have to bring it to their remembrance sometimes. Look at what you've done. And I think we already know that it's not just what they've done. It's about the strength and the power that God has given them to go from those 5 pounds to the 15 or 20.
Right.
And I know when you're working out and you're doing something more than what you were doing before, it becomes easier. And,
right.
and I think it's so important because, again, going back to John chapter 10, when Jesus said, "I came to give life and give it more abundantly," that's what we're doing tonight. That's what we're going to be doing all month. We want people to live life more abundantly and not just be happy that they're going to heaven one day because they're saved.
Right.
And it doesn't say that he came to give life more abundantly only to people who believed on him, because that would
right.
be crazy.
Right.
For somebody who created everybody. God created everybody, but only if you believe in Christ you should have life more abundantly. That ain't biblical.
Right.
A whole bunch of people that lived life more abundantly that wasn't saved. So from those couple of verses, Pastor, I'm going to throw it to you. I know my take on it, but is there anything, what do you want to offer to the listeners tonight from just those couple of verses that we went through so far?
Well, one of the things that I see in John chapter 5, and I just want to say hello to Adia as well. I didn't get a chance to say hello to her. God bless you, Adia.
Oh, God bless you too. So glad to have you on tonight. I learned a lot, and just looking forward to hearing all that you have to say tonight to continue to pour inside of us.
Yeah, well, Adia, I have to tell you, you that intentional piece is powerful, and the way that you articulate it is really is convicting, and that's not a bad thing. You know, it's not condemning, but it's convicting. You know, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, but we are convicted to change, and that piece, intentional, being intentional, convicts and pricks the soul, and it really convicted me, and being intentional about some things that God has put before me. So I thank you for sharing that as well. Hello?
Yeah, we're still here, brother.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm
Maybe.
Sorry about that.
That's okay, that's
I
good.
I was talking to my muted phone.
Okay.
But I just, you know, I was telling him today, he was saying, you know, some plans that he had. And I said, well, have you done anything with them? You know, talking about music. Have you taken the time to take this music and, at a minimum, save it on your phone? Or get a computer that has a camera or a recorder and record these songs or write them down or make a private YouTube page so that you have this information there. Do you have a CD made, anything? And he said, no. I said, so you have to be intentional at whatever it is that you want to do. I said, because I've never seen a New York Times bestseller get their book voted, but the book is still in their head.
Right.
I said, so you have to have a plan. And I said, if you are not intentional about what it is that you want to do, I said, well, then 5 years will pass and you will turn around and still be in the same place. And so when I think about intentional, and I know Travis Green has the song talking about how God is intentional, we have to look at and factor in that the intention that God has for us has been crafted and designed specifically for us, because just like you were talking about the fitness level of somebody, they may say, oh, I can lift 25 pounds. No, you can't. You can lift 5. And I'm going to show you why you can only lift 5, because your form is not good.
Right.
Every time you go to do an arm curl, you know, you start buckling in the middle because your abs aren't strong enough. Your core isn't strong enough. You're not tightening your glutes, you know. And so when you think about how intentional God is with us, his intentionality with us is based off of where we are. And a lot of times, you know, people have grand dreams of where they want to be, but where they are right now doesn't match up with where they're trying to go. They don't have anything written down. And so if we're not intentional and at least willing to have the conversation, if you can't write it, you know, have somebody that is willing to write it, that will support you along the way for your journey, that will walk you through to see whatever it is that you're believing God to do in your financial healing, and whatever plans and goals that we have. And that word, like I said, has been paramount to me this year until it is just not even funny. So I like what you said, definitely the analogy about working out, because I think that is so realistic for people, even to show people they may not think that they can lift a certain amount of weight, or they think that they cannot do something until you show them that they can. And now there's that that inspiration and that encouragement and the building of momentum. And the last thing that I wanted to say was, I like what you say you talk to your members about, because sometimes people get so fixated on what's going wrong that they forgot where God has brought them from.
Right.
This time last year, I wasn't where I was financially. I'm better this year. But if I decided to say, well, you know, I wanted to have this much say, but I didn't do it and stay in that moment, then I'll never be able to be thankful for the blessings that God has given me. And I think, you know, it's just this changing of the mindset, it's changing of the focus, and understanding that God, when he said he created us, he said it was a good thing. He said it was a good thing, but we sometimes people allow the negative things that are happening to them to overshadow the good things that are happening. And I believe that it all starts in our mind. It all starts with having those words of affirmation and knowing what the Word of God says about who we are as believers, that we can do all things through Christ. Now, through us, it might be a hot mess, but we can do all things through Christ. With him on our side, we can do those through him. And when we understand the Word of God and begin to practice the Word of God and begin to apply it to our lives, I believe that we will see the change, because the mind is very powerful. And when we tell our mind to do something, I mean, I think we see results every day of how powerful the mind is. People tell their minds, hey, we're going to go to college and we're going to graduate with a 4.0 GPA and we graduate in 4 years, and you see people do it.
Right.
You see them do it.
Right.
And so I like everything that you said, and again, just so excited and grateful to have you partnering up with us, because it is needed.
Yeah, you know, as I look at John chapter 5, you know, we're talking about people, and this is just such a great depiction, this particular scripture in John, because John is one who uses, the book of John uses a lot of signs and symbols. And one of the things, a lot of the things that I see as I see this is everything that we're talking about is a kingdom society here within John. You have everything. You have everything here. You have all of the ingredients for kingdom, and you have all the ingredients for healing. Wherever there's kingdom, there's the ability for healing and restoration and renewal. And you see that
wow.
here in and you see that here in John chapter 5. You see that John lets us know that this is going on in Jerusalem, and that there's a sheep gate pool, and it's in called Bethesda in Hebrew, which really means the house of mercy. And so we see our churches even in this, because churches are or should be a house of mercy. It should be a place where we, as we look at the next verse, where there lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, and paralyzed. And they were all laying within this house of mercy. And they were there awaiting for the stirring of the water. This is church. This is church. This is a kingdom. This is a kingdom agenda. This is a kingdom principle. And we see the church within the kingdom of God. You see, you got to look at the people that were there. They were blind, they were lame, and they were paralyzed. They were blind. That means that they couldn't see. They couldn't. They didn't have an understanding. They were lacking wisdom. They were not enlightened. They couldn't see. They were spiritually blind. They were lame. That means that they couldn't walk. Oh, Lord have mercy. They could not walk. And then they were paralyzed, which simply means they couldn't move. And you know, when we can't move, that's a rough place to be in, because our God that we serve is a God of forward progression. So they couldn't see, they couldn't walk, and they couldn't move forward. All they could do was just lay by the water, waiting for an angel to come down and stir up the water, so that whoever stepped in first, the Bible tells us, after the stirring of the water, they would be made well of whatever disease they had. And so many of us within the church, within our church lives, are doing exactly what Adia, doing the opposite of what Adia talked about, being intentional. You know, when you're sitting around waiting for something to happen, you're being very unintentional. When you're sitting around waiting for something to happen, you're doing everything but being intentional. You're sitting around waiting, and that's exactly what they were doing. And then you see another person within. Could be anyone within our church world. It could be a deacon, it could be an elder, it could be a pastor, it could be a church mother, it could be the brother that's in the church that's always going through the same issues over and over again, and you want to say to him, when are you going to get it together? This man was sitting by this pool for 38 years. We all know someone within our congregations, within our communities, within our neighborhoods, who seem to go through the same problems, and they have been going through them for quite a long time. Even though they were in the kingdom, even though they were in the church, even though they were in the church, they have been going through these things for quite a long time. But one thing we must never forget, we must never lose hope, we must never take our eyes off the prize. Whenever we are connected to the house of mercy, whenever we are sitting in the house of mercy, even if what we're doing is not relevant, sooner or later Jesus will show up. Even if what we're doing is not intentional and seeking our healing, Jesus will show up. He'll stop by. My grandmother used to say that. You know, my grandmother's from North Carolina, and she would always say, Jesus is going to stop by. And he will stop by. He will stop by. He loves the church. He loves the church. He tells us as husbands to treat our wives as Christ loved the church. That's what Paul said in Ephesians, that we're to treat our wives as Christ loved the church. And Christ loved the church. Even if the church has not been relevant at times, even if people have experienced church hurt, even if pastors have done wrong, even if people have not been open to change or transformation, even if people have been stuck in tradition, there's nothing wrong with tradition, even if people have been stuck in religion and not relationship, Christ still loves his church. He still loves his church. He still wants his church to be powerful, to be uh, to be a present in the world. He still wants his church to be that light on the hill. So he'll stop by, and he stopped by this particular house of mercy called Bethesda, and he stopped by, and he immediately does what only Christ could do. He saw the person that needed him most. Mm-hmm. He didn't stop by and stop by in the deacon board meeting. He didn't stop by at the church picnic and just try to have some fun. And he came into the house of mercy, and he immediately identified someone with a need. Lord have mercy, Dr. Dunlap. I wish that we, as people of God, as ministers, I wish that we would start to deal with the needs of those within our churches. I wish that we would stop overlooking those who are really hurting and those who are really in need and those who have really been going through some things for quite a long time. I wish that we would stop in our houses of mercy, that we would stop avoiding those who got tattoos on their necks and the young girls that come to church with their breasts hanging out. I wish that we would stop ignoring the baby mamas and the baby daddies or the Bloods and the Crips that want to come into the house of mercy. I wish we would stop pushing them out the door. I wish we would be more like Jesus and we would immediately walk in and not look for the best seat in the church or try to get on the front row or talk about our calling and our ability to preach, but we would somehow, some way, look at those who have a need and immediately see them and try to meet that need. Jesus saw this man lying, who had been lying at this pool, infirmed, blind, lame, and paralyzed. He had been with those who were blind, lame, and paralyzed. And he saw this man who was lying there for 38 years. Lord have mercy. I know so many pastors and preachers have talked about the fact that he had been there for 38 years, but Jesus saw him and knew that he had been in that condition for a long time, and ask him the question of all questions, Dr. Dunlap, the question of all questions, the question of the decade. Do you want to be made well? Do you want to be made whole? I like that particular version of do you want to be made whole? Because, mm-hmm. Being made whole is above healing. You understand? Being made whole is above healing. You can have a headache, and I can give you some Aleve, and you're healed. But being made whole alleviates you. It doesn't deal with just a headache. It deals with what's causing the headache. You may have hypertension from the headache. You may not have eaten for 4 days because you don't have any food in the house, and it's giving you a headache. Your marriage may be, you may be going through some issues in your marriage and arguing with your wife or your husband, and it's giving you a headache. And although Aleve will take care of the headache and bring healing, only Jesus can bring wholeness and really, really bring restoration on a holistic level to what is really, really going on deep within. And Jesus said, do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be made whole? See, Jesus could have healed him right there, but he asked him, do you want to be made whole? And the sick man answered him and gave him an excuse. He gave him an excuse. He said, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I'm coming, another steps down before me. And, we have been giving so many excuses that have prevented us from experiencing wholeness within our lives. We have given so many excuses. I hear them all the time. I'm the fitness doctor and I'm a pastor. God has given me two things to do, two assignments where all I hear is excuses. People tell me they can't come to church because they don't have a ride. People have been telling me that they can't come to church because they overslept. People tell me that they can't come to church because they had to work. People tell me that they can't work out because they overslept. People tell me they can't come work out because they don't know how to work out. All these different excuses, but I have this one rule that I live by, and it is what I call a truism, and it is a rule that helps me to go on, to eat a peach, to keep living life to the full, to to just have a good time in life. This one rule, Dr. Dunlap, is simply people do what they want to do. People do what they want to do. How many brothers have you known that to get from point A to point B, they will ride a bicycle in the cold? They do exactly what they want to do. If whatever they're trying to get to is on the other side of town and they have to get there on a bicycle with no shoes on, in the cold, they will ride that bicycle to the other side of town. So Jesus asked this man, do you want to be made whole? And he gave him an excuse. He gave him an excuse. He said, I can't fix my credit because every time I try to run my credit report, you know, I get discouraged when I see how low the number is. You know, he said, I can't work out because every time I get ready to get on the treadmill, you know, I find that I can only walk for about 30 or 40 seconds. He said, I can't lift weights because every time I try to lift weights, you know, I get discouraged because when I was 20, I used to be able to bench press 250 pounds. And now that I'm 45, I can only bench press 90 pounds. And he gave Jesus an excuse. He gave him an excuse. And Jesus immediately told him he disregarded his excuse. He disregarded his excuses. He didn't listen. And he just said, rise, take up your bed, and walk. You know, Dr. Dunlap, that is what we call in fitness and health and medical terms, a curative remedy for an infirmity. It is rise, take up your bed, and walk. Walking is a curative remedy. Walking, if you're going to be made whole, you're going to have to walk some things out in your life. That's that intentionality. That's that process piece. Walking is a difficult thing. Everybody tries to run. People run from church to church. People run around on their wives. People run around on their husbands. It's easy to run around. It's easy to run. But now walking, you have to be intentional to walk. Let me explain what I mean. Let me tell you exactly what I mean. When people start with a fitness program with me, they're excited. They come in, they heard that I was a fitness doctor and I could help them, and they immediately want to run and start working out 6 days per week. And I tell them, no, you just need to work out 2 days per week. When they want to start a program, people immediately want to get on the treadmill and start running. I say, no, you only need to walk 1 mile. And they're taken aback. They're like, you don't want me to run? You don't want me to run? I can run a mile. I can run 2 miles. I'm like, no, I only need you to walk. I only need you to rise, take up your bed, and just simply walk. I don't need you to run. I don't need you to jog. I don't need you to trot. I need you to walk because walking is about intentionality, process, and walking is about consistency. It takes a certain level of consistency to walk. Let me explain what I mean. It's better to work out 1 day per week, Dr. Dunlap, for a year. It's better to work out 1 day for a year, one day per week for a year, than it is to work out 4 days per week for 3 months and quit. It's better to walk out 1 day per week for a year than it is to run and try to do 3 days for 3 months and then quit. It's better to walk a mile and try to beat that time than it is to run 2 miles. Oh my God, walking is what brings wholeness. Walking is what brings healing. Walking in a 40-year marriage, a 54-year marriage, is hard, but if you walk it out, you're going to see the blessings of God. You're going to learn some things. You're going to learn about yourself. You're going to learn about others, but it's difficult to walk. But walking yields results. Walking it out takes intentionality. It takes purpose. It takes strength. Isaiah 41 says that we should walk and not think. Oh my God, you know, why is that? We should run. We'll run. If we run, we'll grow weary. But if we walk, we should not faint. It says, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. When you run, you'll get weary. But when you walk, you will want to faint. Why? Because walking takes patience. Walking takes time. Walking takes intentionality. Walking takes purpose. That's why Jesus didn't tell this man to pick up your bed and run forward. He said, pick up your bed and walk. You're going to have to put one foot in front of the other. And as I see you walking with your mat, walking with your issue, walking with your problem, walking with your bad marriage, walking with your bad credit, walking with your obesity-related illnesses, that's what that mat represented. It was his issue. He said, pick up your mat and walk. Take one step at a time. Because if you run, you're not going to learn anything. You're not going to be in process. You're not going to be intentional. I need you to walk this thing out, because walking has the ability to make us whole in Christ. Oh my God, it's a wonderful thing. God is always calling us to walk. He's always calling us to go forward. God is always calling us to walk with Him. He said, walk. He said, this is a Christian walk. He said, this Christianity life is a walk.
You know what? I don't think we're going to get past verse 9 tonight, and that's okay, because we don't have to here at the PRF table. Let me tell you, something that you said, I've already posted it on the Facebook page, facebook.com/PRF. Being made whole is above a healing. Oh my goodness, that right there is so powerful. That takes, you know, we were talking about healing, but when you look at the text, you can really, really see, at least I can really see how it's a whole lot deeper than the healing. And so I'm gonna take it back just a notch, because something that came to me was difference between a healing and a miracle.
Go ahead.
We can't expect the miracles to happen even when we see other folks getting what looks like a miracle. Right. See, a lot of times, when my credit score was, I don't know, it's like a 790 something right now. But it was at a 720 last year, or back a year before that, right? Mm-hmm. Right. Somebody can say, oh, my goodness, Doc, your credit score is almost 800. Yeah, praise God. But have not seen how much I did not purchase on credit to make sure that my credit score doesn't go down because I'm applying for new credit. People don't see the whole picture. And the reality is a lot of people don't tell the whole story. I'm not talking about these superficial – yeah, I am. I'm talking about these superficial stories that people say on New Year's Eve or watch night service. Okay, tell me what the Lord's been doing. You give the little quick thing, but really don't say, you know what, me and my wife, or me and my husband, for the ladies, we've been going at it for six months because I'm trying to spend and he's trying to save, and I'm saying, look, we need to get our credit straight, and he's saying, look, I got this, let me handle it, and we're at each other. But look at us now. See, you can't omit all the other stuff that happens in the middle and then just get to the end. And this thing about laying on the porch, I don't even need to go back there, but on all of that. But what happens when we lie around? We're not moving.
Right.
When we're not moving, we're not doing everything that God has called us to do.
That's right.
If we're not doing everything that God has called us to do, then we're not positioned properly.
Right.
And in order to receive our financial healing, in order to get better working out, in order to have better health, we have to be in the right position. You said if somebody gives you an excuse, my car is not working, you're not positioned to get that workout in at the gym. Be where you have to be in order for God to do what he's trying to do in our lives.
Amen.
That is the bottom line. And a point about going back into verse 3, there's sick people. Sometimes it's hard, and this is why we're here. Sometimes it's very, very difficult for people to see the power of God's word because they can't see it outside of what's on the paper. What do I mean? When you look at the scripture, it says crowds of sick people. Well, the reality is we don't see crowds of sick people around us that's going through credit problems. You know, let me tell you where you may see crowds of people going through financial problems: at the unemployment office. But how many jokers, pastors, ministers, how many of y'all going down there saying, let me go down here and see if I can help somebody that's in the unemployment line? We don't see the crowds of the sick people going through what they're going through because they're in the house of God. There's an assumption that everything is all right because they're in the house of God, because they're not laying outside of the church. They're inside with you and I, lifting holy hands, praying to God, singing every worship song and hymn that they know because they've learned it for the last 30, 40 years of their life. So there's nobody sitting out there with the discernment or the courage enough to care to say, hold on now, you know what? We're going to talk about something different today for service. I'm going to ask you all some questions, and we're going to go from there. Because I could come and just preach to you and never have dialogue with you.
Right.
And it's a sad reality Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, even a lot of Wednesdays after Wednesdays after Wednesdays, that they're not having the dialogue, they're only having the conversation. And I'm here to tell you, the conversation is not good enough. How do I know this? I'm married. I could tell my wife every day I love her, but I can never take her out on a date. I've said it, but what did I do? Eventually, she's going to say that's nothing but lip service, whether she says it out loud, whether she says it to her girlfriend. We got to get past, I'm telling you, this is maybe that comment is for other pastors and ministers. I told a D or somebody the other day, I am done getting on pastors. I am done getting on ministers that just ain't. Forget it. We're going to do what we got to do here at PRF. And those who are connected with us that are about this business, hey, we ride this train together. But there's something about lying on that porch. When I look at that in verse 5, one of the men who had been, now, there's a couple different translations. I believe the New Living Translation says that the man had been lying there for 38 years. The NIV, I believe, says that he was an invalid for 38 years. That means that's a person who is weak. That's a person who is disabled by whatever the injury is, whatever the illness is. Bottom line is they're in bad shape. Here's what we got to really know, Pastor. You don't have to be, and I told him this last night, it doesn't matter if you've been dealing with, if they've been dealing with it for 38 years. One person over here has been dealing with their sickness or their illness or their concern or their challenge for 38 years. It makes no difference whether somebody else has only been dealing with it for 38 days. Because the reality is pain is pain. We as disciples have to be very careful overlooking what's a 38-day pain. Oh, it'll get better. Let me just pray about it. As if the one who's been there dealing with it for 38 years is experiencing even more pain. Because you don't know their story. And I'm going to tell you something that I found with this thing. I'm not even going to touch on the excuses. I'm past that. I'm going to go right from between verse 8 and verse 9. I've never seen this. And then, and Medea, please jump in after this, because I'm gonna drop the mic. When Jesus said to this man in verse 8, three things: stand up, pick up your mat, and walk. Pick up that thing that's been holding you up for all these years.
Right.
That you've been lying on, lying, meaning lying down, that you've been using as a crutch, whether you had to do it or not. Pick up that thing. The beginning of verse 9 says, I gotta go back. Verse 7, he gave his excuse. Verse 6, Jesus asked him a question. The response that Jesus wants us to give him is yes. Do you want to be made whole? Yes. Do you want to be healed? Yes. There's a problem. The problem is when we can't say yes, then there's something else going on there. That's what BRF is about. We explore why you didn't say yes when Jesus asked you, what did you want? I asked him in front, do you want your credit straightened out? If you give me a yes, we can roll with it. Because, see, I'm not Jesus, and I don't have the power to miraculously make all those negative marks and those collections go away on your credit report. So guess what? The best that I can do, which is great, is to walk with you through the process.
Mm.
But he said, he gave us his reason, his excuse, his rationale, whatever you want to call it. He gave that. Jesus says, stand up, take up your mat, and walk. Gave him three things. The next verse, if you look at it, instantly the man was made whole. Instantly the man was healed.
Mm.
Now, right after that, the same verse says he rolled up his mat and began walking.
Mm-hmm.
I got slapped in the face last night when this revelation came to me. From the time that Jesus said it, pick up your mat, stand up, pick up your mat, and walk. From the time that he said that, the healing was there.
Mm.
Man didn't do anything until after the word of God says, instantly the man was made whole.
Mm.
Well, what I'm seeing is that people's healings are already there if they're just willing to take up their mat and start walking.
Mm, mm,
mm. I'm done. Adia?
Yeah, Pastor Khalil, Nate, what I really, everything that was said has just been phenomenal, and definitely a seed planted. But what I wanted you to do, Pastor Khalil, is from a fitness point of view, is to share with us the benefits of walking versus running. And I say that because I'm in the Army. We got the 2-mile PT test, and we also have for those that walk 2.5 miles. And I've been told that walking is better than running. But I want you to, if you can just explain to us why, so that when people can visualize fitness and walking to their spiritual walk as well.
Right. Wow, that's great. You know, walking is better on so many levels. One reason that just jumps right out, and I just want to share this, whenever we walk spiritually and physically, we have a tendency to be more aware and conscious of each moment and each step. When we run, many times, and I know many, you know, this is from many years' experience, and even when I used to run, you know, you kind of want to take your mind elsewhere and not be conscious and aware of where you are at the present moment. You know, one of the tenets of our Christian faith is to seize the moment, is to embrace the now. You know, Jesus tells us in Matthew 6, don't worry. Don't worry about tomorrow. You know, focus on what's going on right now. And so walking gives us that ability, and I paraphrase that obviously, but walking gives us the ability to focus now. But from a physical perspective, walking is better than running, because walking gives you the ability to, you know, have less wear and tear upon your body. Walking gives you the ability to kind of pace yourself. It speaks to a greater population of people who are not as active and who are not as fit. So walking gives them the ability to start immediately as opposed to trying to run. And we have all of the information and scientific proof, the damage that running does to the body over time. It's just not something that is good for long term. I'll give you an example. I know of a pastor friend who ran for many years. And when he got older, he hurt his foot and his leg or something like that, and he wasn't able to run anymore. And he gained a lot of weight. And then he wasn't able to get the weight off because, you know, he only knew how to run, but he couldn't run anymore. And so walking didn't give him that thrill. I told you, walking is hard. Walking didn't give him that immediate rush and thrill that he was getting when he was walking, so he wasn't able to walk. He actually, you know, did what Isaiah 40 tells us not to do. He walked and he fainted, you know. But we have to learn how to pace ourselves. We have to learn how to walk. You know, we have to learn how to walk in our healings, to walk in our transformation. We have to learn how to walk out the process. There are so many connections spiritually and physically to walking. We have to, you know, one of the hardest things, and Dr. Dunlap talks about this, is I learned from him that it takes a while. It takes a little time to get your credit correct. And so, you know, you get all of these credit card companies that are telling you, or credit repair companies that are telling you, you can improve your credit score in 30 days and all of this. And, you know, but we know that you have to walk it out. Like he said, not spend, save, you know, do those things that are intentional. And walking is very, very, very intentional. And you could say that spiritually and physically. Walking is intentional. You know, sometimes when, I would really want to start just, when I was much younger, I would want to run and help and burn body fat and do all of that stuff I used to do. So I would just start running. I would go to the park and I'd just start running and just run a mile, run 2 miles, 3 miles, whatever. But now, you know, I just find that walking, and I'm not talking about, I'm talking about walking at a nice, brisk pace, really, really just stimulates the mind. You're able to do it consistently. You're not aching afterwards. And you look forward to kind of going for that walk. But it has to be what I call purposeful walking. It can't just be this type of people say, well, I was walking my dog. No, that's not it. That's not exercise. You know, people are walking on the track and they're on the cell phone. That's not really going to do it. It has to be purposeful walking, and you have to make sure that you are getting a cardiovascular benefit from that.
That was great. I think that was so needed, because as you were talking about the spiritual part of walking, when you think about walking your financial healing out, there has to be purpose. And I like the last part you said, that your walking has to be purposeful. And even in our Christian walk, if our walk has no purpose, then to me, you know, it kind of answers the question why people a year later or 6 months later are still going through the same thing, because their walk in Christ does not have purpose for them. And if it does, they're still trying to learn how to navigate in the walk, not understanding that there are people that are there that will help them with that process. You know, like you said, if you don't know how to properly walk, if you don't have the, you know, I'm adding this part, if you don't have the proper shoes, then it could be very, it can, you know, not be a setback, but definitely not get you to the goals that you have established. You know, the same thing with running. If you don't have the proper shoes on, if you're not equipped, if we don't have the financial education that we need, then regardless of how much we want to achieve the financial goal, it is going to be all the harder. But just like if you have on the right shoes, whether you got on some Skechers or some Reeboks or whatever the type shoe may be, and you have on the right attire and you are walking at a brisk pace and you're monitoring your heart and different things, and you have a goal in mind that I want to walk a half a mile or a quarter of a mile or 2 miles, that is purposeful. And now you have a drive and something that is inspiring you to finish and to keep going, because now you're building momentum and you begin to see results. But the results aren't evident the first day. You don't
right.
walk, you know, a quarter of a mile and say, "Whoo, man, I lost 2 inches off my waist or 2 inches off my thighs." If anything, you're going to feel the pain if you've never walked like that before. You're going to feel the pain first, and sometimes people begin to feel the pain prior, not understanding that it is a part of the process. And so I think it's also just relevant to talk about that with financial healing, that there's going to be pain. When you have had surgery, you know, you don't just get up and go right back into the things that you were doing, because you might tear a stitch. And so you have to ease your way back into it. And I think having that understanding and having that knowledge with healing, there's some uncomfortable feelings that you're going to experience. There's going to be some pain, but you don't stop. You don't give up. You keep pushing forward, because after a while, when the healing starts to take place and everything is starting to mend itself back together again, and you start to see the credit score going up, and now instead of having 5 bill collectors calling you, you're down to 1, you can say, "Woo, hallelujah, I'm so glad that I didn't stop." But sometimes people feel the pain or the consequences of decisions that they've made, and they're ready to give up, or as the word that the Holy Spirit gave me on last week, push beyond the habit and surrender. And if we can push beyond the habit, that what we're always used to doing, the result, the end state, is far greater than where we started at. And that's
Amen.
All I have.
Amen. Amen.
Well, listen, it has been a fast and furious 1 hour plus here at the PRF table. You know, we used to be at this point where we wanted a lot of people to call in, because we say this is radio. But one of the things that we realize is that as we're engaging in these conversations that have moved into dialogue, sometimes it's best to listen. And when we're listening, we can hear God a little bit better, just like when we're walking, Pastor Carmichael. So I'm grateful again that you've taken the time to be with us, and we're looking forward to another hot topic next week. Acts chapter 3 is another very, very important passage of Scripture when it comes to, I'm hoarse, I've been talking the last couple of days, but it's a very, very important passage of Scripture that is so applicable to receiving your financial healing. It's because what we'll see when we look at it, and hopefully everybody will take a look at it before next week, is we saw what Jesus did in John chapter 5. Now we're going to see what disciples do in Acts chapter 3. So now we can talk about what folks are supposed to do.
Yeah.
It's just like what Jesus did. But Jesus said clearly, greater works than these shall you do. So if we are saying that we are disciples, if we are saying that we belong to him, if we do believe that we have that power within us in our various different areas, then there should be somebody able to take an example of Acts chapter 3 and say, let me tell you an example of what it looks like today. Let me tell you what Pastor Carmichael did that's relating to Acts chapter 3. Let me tell you what Adia has done. Let me tell you what she's done for me. See, this whole thing with John chapter 5, and we'll reserve the rest for everybody else to go and look at. But after he stood up and he walked, a whole bunch of events transpired after that. And maybe we need to start at that point next week. We'll see how the Spirit leads, because he did something with his healing. He didn't just take his healing and go home. He did something with it. Pastor Carmichael, what I would like to do next week, if you will, or before we go shut out for tonight, can you tell us a little bit about your book? Ladies and gentlemen, Pastor has written a book, and we want to make sure that we put it out there here on the PRF table so that you can get a copy of it into your hands. And so if you can just briefly mention your book, and maybe we can incorporate some of that into our show next week, however it fits. But I wanted to give you that opportunity before we sign off in the next 3 to 4 minutes in your closing remarks for tonight's show.
Right, I appreciate that. Yeah, the book I've written is called The Fitness Doctor Tips of the Day, 50 Tips to a Better You. And it just speaks to the fact that when we are exercising and trying to achieve health and fitness and wellness, we are really trying to be the best us, to have the perfect body for us. You know, and that's a genetics thing, that is a true thing, and that is just something that we want to do. And I offer 50 tips for a better you. And one of them from the Tips of the Day book is the truth about losing weight. And I talk about the truth about losing weight. Like, you know, there are only a few things that we really need to do to lose weight if we really want to lose weight. And it really is a simple equation, calories in, calories out. It's not just about counting calories. But what I have in the book is that exercise, diet, healthy diet, attitude, and support. Those are things that I believe. Those are the four things I believe will help us to really lose weight and get to the an ideal healthy body weight. Exercise, healthy eating, the right attitude. Let me tell you, see what it says about the right attitude. Those who have successfully lost weight have a great value system. They value their bodies, looking at them as their greatest investment. They are willing to do what it takes to make sure their investment pays great returns. A healthy lifestyle is seen as a necessity, not an option. This no-excuses approach truly makes all the difference in achieving your goals. I mean, it really is about that valuing your body, especially we as Christians. We understand that the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and we also understand that our body is not our own. And 1 Corinthians 6:19 also tells us to glorify God in our body as well as our spirit. Well, we have the glorification of God spiritually, but through worship and praise, which is a great thing. But we're also to glorify God with our body. That is so key. And I think that we forget that. You know, it gives God no glory when we're not able to serve in the kingdom because we are severely overweight and unable to move, unable to be agile, unable to walk up the stairs, unable to set up the church or tear down the church, unable to have a basketball camp. You know, there's a church in North Carolina. My uncle's a pastor of a church in North Carolina. And they set this basketball court up on the church property. And church in the middle of the country in North Carolina, beautiful place. I love it down there. And they set this basketball. And I went there to preach there for a revival. And I saw, I'm telling you, Dr. Dunlap, I saw about 50 young men on that court playing basketball. And I asked my uncle, who is the pastor of the church. I said, why aren't any of your deacons out there playing with those young men? And they couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. They couldn't. You know, sometimes, and even if they could not play basketball, because everybody's not a basketball player or athletically inclined, but they couldn't even go out there and watch or participate in any way. Because when you are unhealthy, when you are severely obese, when you are affected with obesity-related illnesses, you know, it is akin or analogous to those who are who have very low credit ratings, who are living above their means. You know, there's a spirit of shame. There's a spirit of guilt. There's a spirit of secrecy, and you really don't want to socialize. So, you know, that's what this book speaks to, some of those things. And I'm sorry, I digress. I just got off topic a little bit, but you know, I just love what you're doing. I love this whole conversation and dialogue, and I believe that even as you post your recordings and get this information out there, the world will be blessed by what we've shared tonight.
Amen, amen. And let me, I think you said there was four things, and I was trying to catch them all. One was exercise, another one was the premises of your book.
Mm-hmm. Healthy eating, right, good attitude, and support. Support is key. And one of the things that I use as support is, you know, when I work with clients, I offer them support. And, you know, that is key. That is so important that we have support in our desire to get healthier and fit, that we have a support system. And, you know, we have to set that up. Even as we try to get financially fit, we need a support system.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, let's do this for next week. If you will be so kind to maybe pick out some things that you want to talk about next week from each one of those four premises of your book, maybe one from each. However you want to do it, come in your own way. This is the PRF table. This is not structured church. And let's continue to delve into what we know that God is trying to do, which is get his people healthy. And healthy people is the only thing that makes healthy churches.
Right.
If the people are not healthy, then the church is not healthy.
Right.
I believe it's Paul in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that says, when I'm going through something, you're feeling it. I'm paraphrasing loosely. You feel it. When I'm rejoicing with something, you're rejoicing with me. But when I'm feeling something, when I'm going through something, hey, that's having an effect on you too.
Absolutely.
And so if we're talking about do you want to be made whole, the larger paradigm, if you will, the larger spiritual metaphor when Jesus asked that question to that man, was do you want to be made whole? He was talking to people within the body of Christ.
Yeah.
For today. Because if one person is not whole in the body, which he is the head of, then the body is not whole at all. It's incomplete.
Right.
So with one person going through financial problems, with one person being overweight, with one person not in the best physical condition, with one person credit jacked up in the household, it affects the whole. And once we get that as members of the body of Christ, and especially as pastors and leaders, and start doing more of what we're doing, which is working with transformation, I promise you, there will be nobody that will be able to stop us. And we're going to just continue to do it one step at a time. So with that, we're going to say goodnight to everybody. We ask you to please go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/PRFPRF. Also visit our website, prfministry.org. Please go on and check us out. Leave some comments for Pastor Carmichael on our website as well. Until next week, God bless you. We love you. We'll see you next week here on the PRF Table. God bless you.